Hello, fellow Rebel Capitals. Hope you're well. The Bank of England just announced one of the most insane policies I have ever heard of. And that's saying a lot. So let's get into this story from CNBC, which, by the way, has been edited from what it was in this morning, I think. Let me show you kind of my proof here, and I'll let you make your own judgment on this. But going over to my email, I actually took a snapshot of the quote from the story in CNBC. Now, when I go to the same story, which I think is the same story, maybe it's a little different one, but I cannot find this at all. And this came out this morning. They have changed this. Initially, when I did this screenshot this morning, the first paragraph of the story said futures tied to the Dow Jones Industrial Average rebounded into positive territory Wednesday following the Bank of England's bond buying plan, in other words, QE, to stabilize the falling British pound. So let that sink in for a moment. What they're doing is they're saying, okay, the British pound is collapsing against the dollar. In other words, it's depreciating. In other words, there's an imbalance between demand and supply, where there is far more demand for dollars and there's far too much supply or selling of the British pound. And the way we're going to combat this problem is by printing more British pounds. Oh, yes, that is what they're saying. Now, I'd be the first person to say that they're going to print up bank reserves, which really aren't money printing. But actually, the way they do it, it's a little bit more of a technical money print than if the Fed does it. Because when the Fed does it, they're going to the primary dealers. And are they buying from a bank? I don't know. If they do buy from a bank directly, then it's just an asset swap. You're really not affecting M2. Now, if those primary dealers are buying from a non-bank entity, then yes, you're impacting M2, which would be most individuals' definition of quote-unquote money printing. So if I'm not mistaken, when the BOE does quantitative easing, I don't know they would just randomly buy through a primary dealer, and who knows who they're getting the bonds from. I think they specifically or maybe even directly buy from large pools of money, i.e. pension funds. And therefore, you could argue that since that's a non-bank entity, that it would increase M2, or it would increase the amount of currency units circulating in the real economy. I don't know if that's a great argument, because are those currency units really circulating with a lot of velocity if they're on the balance sheet of a pension fund? Probably not. And could that pension fund have accessed just as much liquidity to buy stocks if they wanted to by taking those bonds and using them as collateral in their repo market? Yes, in my opinion. So, but the whole point here is that no country in human history, whether creating bank reserves is money printing or not, no country in human history has ever made their currency appreciate simply through quantitative easing, simply through printing bank reserves to buy bonds. I mean, and I kind of jokingly said on Twitter, Venezuela, Zimbabwe, Weimar Germany, they're all kicking themselves right now. Can you think about those central bankers looking at this saying, oh my gosh, what was my problem? Why didn't I think of that? If Hugo Chavez was doing all this crazy stuff, nationalizing oil, sanctions from the United States. Oh, but the currency was hyperinflating here in Caracas in Venezuela. But if we only would have printed money to buy our debt, we never would have had that hyperinflation. You see the insanity. And it goes back to what we say on this channel almost daily. The one thing that you can count on for sure, the one thing that is certain in this world of complete uncertainty, is the central planners and authoritarians will always do the opposite of what you should do to achieve a stated objective. So if we want to improve health during the cerveza sickness, we're going to keep everyone from going outside. We're going to lock them in a cage. Well, that's the opposite of what you would want to do. If we've got an inflation problem, oh, simple. We're just going to implement a windfall profit tax, and we're going to give everyone stimmies. Yeah, to help pay for the higher prices of goods and services. Or we're just going to continue deficit spending like a drunken sailor. You see, again, the complete opposite of what they should do. We want peace in Russia, or we want to hurt Russia. Okay, great. Then let's go ahead and sanction them, which, again, does the opposite. It hurts Europe more than it hurts Russia. And now they're doing the exact same thing. Okay, great. We want to make the pound sterling go up. We want it to appreciate against the dollar. Fantastic. Let's just do another round of QE. I mean, this is just pure madness. Now let's go over to the article the way it is now. And again, this could have been a different article. I guess I should probably give them the benefit of the doubt. But I looked for 15 minutes with Josh and we couldn't find it. So maybe you guys can find it. But this is a very similar article. Just happened to come out at the exact same time. So, there you go. Bank of England intervenes in the bond market after historic sell-off. Key talking points, U.S. gilt yields, basically their version of treasuries, were on course for their sharpest monthly rise since 1957. Investors fled British fixed income markets falling. So they're basically their bond markets freezing up. And if you guys follow the brilliant Lynn Alden, who's one of my partners in Rebel Capitalist Pro, you know that central bank's biggest concern is credit markets freezing up. The measure included large swaths of unfunded tax cuts and have drawn. I think this is kind of a change, and this is why they maybe shifted the article, because as CNBC, they would want to make anything that was geared toward free market seem just completely silly and counterproductive. So measures including large swaths of unfunded tax cuts. I know they always say unfunded tax cuts. How are tax cuts usually funded? If the only way the government gets money is by taxing and they reduce the tax revenue, how is it not unfunded? You see where I'm going with this? The bottom line is they add unfunded. Although it's redundant, they add it to make it disparaging. And they also like to point out, or try to point out, that it's the tax cuts that are the big problem. No. As my good buddy Schiff says, the tax cuts aren't the problem. It's the government spending. If you reduced taxes, but yet at the same time reduced government spending to the same degree or even more, they wouldn't have had this problem. But what they did is they cut taxes and they increase government spending. And then they're raising rates the front end while they're trying to suppress rates at the long end. I mean, it's just, they're a walking contradiction. Unbelievable. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out of control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. This guy, I've got a quote from him. Fortunately, they got someone on the phone here that actually made a little bit of sense. Let's actually go down to his statement. And you can see the yield here. My goodness, great. Wow, I didn't know it went up that much. So these are the yields on the 30-year, 10-year, and 2-year. Look at that. Whoa. So July, wait a minute here. Okay, so that was July of last year. So let me see where it is here. So in April, well, you know what? I bet you our treasury market looks relatively the same as far as if you had a curve of R. Now, our 10-year's not up at 4.48, but it's – so I guess ours wouldn't be as bad, but it would definitely have a similar shape. So now let's get into this guy, Antoine Bouvet, or Bouvet. Let's get to his comments here because I thought they were solid. Clearly, the gilt market was caught in a crossfire between Bank of England and Treasury. And they're not referring to the U.S. Treasury. They're talking about the British Treasury there. And it's not exactly like that, but it looked a lot like they were competing or working at cross purposes. They're just, these people are just idiots. I mean, they're just absolute idiots. So you, the central planners, so you have a world where your recession, the BOE is trying to cool the economy with hikes. So they're hiking the front end because they're trying to decrease inflation. And on the other hand, you have the Treasury spending money like a drunken sailor to try to prop up the economy from going into a recession, which in and of itself is inflationary, especially when it's combined with quantitative easing. That is getting close to what I think you could say is money printing. If the BOA, or excuse me, if the Treasury is spending money, which effectively the BOE is monetizing. If you're in that type of environment, if the BOE is buying the majority of those bonds from the private sector, assuming they are, then yes, that would increase the currency units circulating. Now, if the BOE isn't doing quantitative easing and it's just the government spending the money, this isn't really going to increase currency units because they're just robbing Peter to pay Paul. They're just taxing someone, they're just selling the debt, which is decreasing the currency units. And then when they spend the money to prop up the economy, then they're just increasing the currency units by the same amount that it was decreased, that they were decreased to begin with. So on net balance, it's just a wash. But why you do have additional inflationary pressures from government spending is because it's a total misallocation of resources. And they're most likely putting it into hands where the velocity will go up. And it's creating government-imposed economic distortions. And if you're having significant economic distortions created by the government, malinvestment, misallocation of resources, would you assume the economy would be more robust or less? Would you assume the economy would create more goods and services or fewer goods and services? Obviously, the answer is fewer. And if what you're doing is being perceived as inflationary by starting QE by the market, even though it might not technically be money printing, then this would make the pound sterling go down even further, which would therefore exacerbate the inflation problem the BOE is trying to fight by raising interest rates at the front end. This is complete bananas. In fact, you know, a great meme that I saw, I tweeted about this earlier, and you know, it's worth going to Twitter because this guy had a meme that was just absolutely perfect. Hit the nail on the head. So let's go back over to my Twitter feed. Here we go. And this is the original tweet that I had about it. According to CNBC, BOE is doing QE to prop up the pound. You read correctly. I put this GIF of, I forgot that guy's name, but he's really funny. Okay, so yeah, it's probably here, this guy's meme, which is perfect. You know what's hilarious is with the comments on Twitter, the replies, usually they're just, here it is right here. This is perfect way to describe it. Yep, central banks come out, we fixed a problem. In fact, in order to communicate our solution to the general public, we've come up with this little diagram, this picture, so the average Joe and Jane can understand the magnitude of our sheer unadulterated brilliance. See, what we're doing is we're printing money. We're creating more currency units to increase the value of the outstanding currency units. Just like taking a plug, or actually, you know what? This is how you defeat Putin. Right here, why didn't I think of this? Of course, this is how they can defeat Putin. Who needs the natural gas or the energy from Russia for your electricity when you've just figured out how to create your own electricity? You don't even need to plug it into the wall. All you need to do is plug your phone charger into the strip cord, and then you plug the strip cord into one of the holes in the strip cord, and voila, you've just created your own renewable energy. Just like the central banks are going to defeat inflation and prop up the pound by actually buying bonds. Just like the central bank is going to increase the value of the currency units by just increasing the amount of currency units. Oh, the mental gymnastics never cease to amaze me. There you go. So that's what our central banking friends are doing across the pond. You just can't make this stuff up. So I guess the moral of the story here, Josh, is go out and buy yourself a strip cord and you'll never have to pay an electricity bill for the rest of your life. You heard it right here on the Rebel Capitalist channel. Go out, try it, go to Home Depot right now, and you can thank me later. On that bombshell, as Jeremy Clarkson used to say in Top Gear, I want to encourage all of you to have a fantastic afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. See you in the next video.